Stand by for the Terry Saul Show in 5, roll tape, 4, cue Terry, 3, bring audio up, 2, stand by, 1, play intro.
Stay tuned for the Terry Saul Show, Saltissimo, on Salem's original radio station, 104.3 and 1220 AM, KSLM.
Well, good morning, and welcome to the Terry Saul Show on Salem's original radio station, KSLM, AM, and FM. I am your host, and I am so glad that you joined us today. Today, we're going to talk about diabetes. It's something I'm very familiar with, and we have a couple of folks in here from the... Well, where are you from, first of all?
We're from Diabetes Support Services.
Okay, and why don't you go ahead and introduce me?
Well, my name is Sandra Underberg, and I am president and co-founder of Diabetes Support Services.
Okay, so you're like one of the... The head honchos, aren't you?
Oh, yeah, I'm very important.
Okay, good. Yeah. One of these days, I hope to be that way. Who else do we have here?
I'm Renee Lacey, and I am on the board of directors with the Diabetes Support Services as well. Sandy and I make a great team together.
You certainly do. I went to your class a few weeks ago and sat in on the class, and it was very informative. Tell me a little bit about the DDS, first of all.
Well, my husband and I founded it back in April of 2007. I was approached by a friend, picked up the phone one day. She called and said that she had been diagnosed with type 2 diabetes. And she was very ill. She didn't trust herself to drive, and her husband was legally blind. And so she asked if I would drive her to Salem Hospital to take the diabetes education classes. Of course, I agreed. She's a good friend. Then I hung up the phone and thought about it for a few minutes and realized that we had not been offered any diabetes education classes since my husband was diagnosed in 1962.
62?
62.
Oh, my word.
So I called her back and I said, do you think I could go as your caregiver? So she got permission and I attended the classes. We started at 8 o'clock in the morning and went until noon for 4 days. Everybody who attended, there were probably about 30 or 35 people who attended. They were all newly diagnosed, not feeling well, terrified because they knew all the stories about how about amputations, blindness, and all the complications, and they were very worried. So we were given stacks and stacks of paperwork. We had speakers who came in for about an hour or so, and the class really was good if you were healthy and you could have taken it in little snippets. It would have been a whole lot better. And so at the end of the class on the fourth day, one of the attendees raised her hand and said, is there any kind of ongoing education that we could go so we could absorb this? The instructor said, no, not that I'm aware of. I have heard that there's maybe something, a group that meets at the Sizzler. And so I went home.
It's a great place to meet for a diabetes class, right?
Yeah, I would think so. Mm-hmm. But we come to find out, I called the manager and asked about the diabetes group that met there, and he didn't know anything about it.
Mm.
And so later on, I learned that it was some ladies who just got together for lunch and talked about their condition. And I just felt like this is something that we should do. My husband had been diabetic for about 43 years at that time. So we thought that maybe we should bring some diabetes education at a level where people could understand and learn in bits and pieces.
I took that same class at Salem Hospital, and I'm not going to slam it or anything, but I walked out of there more depressed than I did when I walked in. And it's simply because, it's like what you said, they give you a lot of information.
Yeah.
After a couple of minutes, you just quit absorbing it. Now it's all of a sudden like, are we going to lunch yet? And when you leave, you just feel like,
deer in
wow.
headlights.
Yeah.
Exactly.
What are you guys doing to change that?
Well, we think we have a wonderful formula for presenting diabetes education. We have two different formats. Our evening meeting, which is the original one that we started, and we do it the fourth Thursday of every single month. We bring in speakers from the medical community. Could be an endocrinologist, an ophthalmologist, a kidney specialist, a whole variety. And so they talk for an hour. We record those programs, and they're shown on CCTV 3 times a week. And so people who are housebound can watch them and get the education as well. We have a lending library, so if somebody comes in and say, hey, I'm having trouble with my foot, we can pull some of the DVDs and show them what the doctors have said about it. And so, you know, I kid that I have a GED in endocrinology, having lived with my husband and the roller coaster ride we've had with his diabetes all these years. After being a type 1 diabetic for all these years. He has all his toes. His kidneys are functioning. He only wears glasses when he reads. And so we managed to keep him healthy.
Renee, maybe you could answer this. What is the difference between diabetes stage 1 and diabetes stage? Because I'm a 2.
Mm-hmm.
And when they told me that, I thought, is that good or is that bad? Out of the two, that's the better of the two. What is stage 1, stage 2?
Type 1 is where your pancreas is no longer producing insulin at all, and so you need to have insulin in order to have that hormone help you through your digest your food and all of that.
What does the insulin do? What does it do to your body?
It helps with the body get the blood get the sugar in the blood into the cells.
Okay.
So that all your muscles, all your tissues, your brain can all work. It needs food, and the sugar is the food that the body runs on. But it can't get into the tissues. It can't get into the cells without the insulin. The insulin is the key that opens the door. Without that, you just have a rise in blood sugar, and that's very damaging, especially when it stays up there high for a long time. Type 2 means that you are producing insulin, but you're a lot likely to be resistant to your own insulin. You have sugars that can't get into the cells, and you have insulin that can't open the cells. The cells have shut their doors to anything.
So everybody that's a type 2, are you eventually going to become a type 1?
Some people do. And if it's not treated or brought under control, it could likely progress to that. Type 2 is one of the most delayable, reversible types of diabetes through fitness, through moving your body, through exercise, through nutrition.
I knew that E word was going to come into this conversation. I knew it was coming sooner or later.
It just has a nice long tail to it, doesn't it? Yeah.
Certainly does.
Yeah.
Well, you know that exercise is a four-letter word, and it's life, L-I-F-E.
Oh, I like that.
So exercise like your life depends on it, because it does.
Right. You get it under control. How do you get diabetes under control? My doctor, when he told me, he says, well, you're a diabetic. And I thought, okay, that's almost as bad as hearing the C word when your doctor tells you you've got cancer. When you get it under control by medication and, of course, exercise, does it ever go away?
Yes, it can definitely go away. It goes.
So we can beat it.
We can definitely beat it. Absolutely.
Okay. Then, Sandra, if your husband's had it since 1962, has he always had stage 1 or type 1?
Yes. He started with type 1.
I know you, and you're ornery. Why does he still have it? Why haven't you fixed him?
There is no cure for type 1. What happens, the immune system...
Oh, there's not.
No. The immune system attacks the beta cells in the pancreas. Beta cells produce the insulin. Once those beta cells are gone, it can't be fixed. Type 2 can be. It can be reversed.
You said earlier that type 1 can go back to type 2, right?
No.
Type one is where you're no longer having the ability to manage your blood sugars within your own body.
Okay.
Unless you have a pancreas transplant, in which case that would be different.
So getting it under control, other than that horrible exercise word, there are medications that, like metformin and
yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Is that the most common one?
Metformin is the most common one because it opens the sensitivity to the cells. So it's the number one that is the first line of defense that gets prescribed.
In my case, I'm taking about 16 pills a day, which is like 15 too many in my opinion. You know, they say they've got it under control. My sugar count is usually around 124, 125, but mine drops. I go the other direction. I don't spike. I go down. It seems that, you know, when you go down so far, you start getting those shakes. And I'm sure that, you know what I'm talking about, where you just all of a sudden get something in me. Well, the first thing I grab is a Reese's peanut butter cup. And I'm not sure why, but they told me to try that, and it does help. Obviously, orange juice is the best thing that they've been told. So in our house, we have these little Reese's peanut butter cups in the refrigerator and orange juice, and I start popping one and drinking the other. And it seems that in about 5 to 10 minutes, it helps. But the trick is that it's a temporary help. Am I right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Because that Reese's peanut butter cup is going to take me back up, but all of a sudden, it's going to come right back down again. So you have to eat, right? Is that what you have to do?
Absolutely. You should have a peanut butter sandwich.
Hello.
Something with protein.
Yeah.
Cheese sandwich, you know, piece of bread, crackers, something like that. Otherwise, you are going to, your blood sugar will drop again once you've treated it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Does laying down help, too? It seems like sometimes I'll do that. I'll lay down and my wife's coming over there trying to take my blood again. But it takes about 20 minutes or so for it to start rising back up. Mm-hmm. What should it be at? What do you think it should be at?
Well,
for
you
a
know,
normal
they have, yeah.
50 plus, I don't want to get into the age, 63, but what should it be at?
Well, Sandy can probably speak to that more. They have changed, they've changed these guidelines quite a bit, pretty much have people doing 80, 90, 100, and they want to try to keep it right around there. But when you...
Isn't that low?
It is. For most people who have had high blood sugar, that's going to feel critically mm-hmm. low because your body is adjusted to being high. So as you bring your blood sugars down and your body adjusts to lower levels, then lower levels feel more normal.
Okay.
So it's just the body readjusting to those levels.
What do you consider a high level? Both of you, I'll ask you both. What do you consider a high level?
Well, anything, mm-hmm. you get up to 200, it's dangerous. You get below 70, it's dangerous.
Okay, I've talked to someone. My son is a paramedic, and my son has told me that, he says, Dad, we've transported people that are as high as 600, 700, 800.
Yeah. Yes.
Isn't that, like, not really good?
That is really not good.
Not really good.
Is that close to going into a shock of some type?
Coma, yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely.
What causes it to go that high? Too many Reese's peanut butter cups?
Probably, yes, and too much orange juice. Not taking your medication. That maybe you are a good little boy and you've been exercising and you haven't exercised for a while, because there are a whole lot of factors that go into that. Or maybe you aren't aware that you're diabetic. That happened to my nephew, right. He was feeling poorly, went to the doctor many times. The doctor never did a blood test on him, kept treating him for high blood pressure, ended up in intensive care with a blood sugar of 600.
Now, how do they bring that down? If you have a high...
Insulin.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
And does it bring it down right away?
Yeah, pretty fast. Really, pretty fast.
Really? Mm-hmm. How important is eating?
Eating is extremely important. What we teach is that there's no such thing as a diabetic diet.
Wait a minute, a diabetic diet?
There is no such thing.
Okay, explain that one.
Well, we talk about carbohydrate counting and portion control. You don't have to throw all the food out of your cupboards in your refrigerator. You can eat what you have always eaten.
I'm giving you my wife's cell number. Call her and tell her that.
Be happy to. Yeah.
So portion control.
Yes.
Now, you told us at the meeting the other day that the correct portion is what you could fit in your palm of your hand.
For protein. For protein, mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay.
Yes. But you divide your plate out in fourths. Half of your plate should be greens, vegetables, salad, that kind of thing. And then a quarter of it should be your starch. Could be half a baked potato, something like that. And
Half of a baked potato?
Well, yeah.
Is that what you said?
Yeah. Potatoes have a lot of carbohydrates.
But they're good.
I know. Have a sweet potato. They're better.
Oh.
And then your protein, which would be pork chop.
Okay.
You know, it's about the size of a deck of cards. Chicken breast. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, mm-hmm.
Fish fillet.
We eat chicken breast all the time. I love chicken breast.
It's good.
Yeah,
it's good.
Yeah.
My wife is trying to get me to eat broccoli, but, you know, I just keep throwing back at her. I says, you know, President George Bush I didn't like broccoli. No. He was president, so I don't have to eat it either.
That's right.
Well, it's not working too good. I'm losing that fight.
Mm-hmm.
When we come back, we're going to take a break right now. But when we come back, we're going to talk about the fact that where you guys are located, and you're moving to a new location. Is that correct?
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
Take a short break. When we come back, more with today's special guest. We're talking diabetes. You're listening to the Terry Saul Show, 104.3 FM and 1220 AM. KSLM, brought to you today by the Willamette Queen Stern Winner. The Queen is back. She's back in the river. Yes, the Willamette Queen is back. bigger, better than ever. The next time you plan an event, think of the Willamette Queen. Whether it's a lunch cruise, a gourmet dinner cruise, a brunch cruise, or just an excursion, they are back, and they are operating year-round. Give the Willamette Queen a call, 503-371-1103. That's 503-371-1103. Remember, it's the Willamette Queen.
We're back in 5, 4, Q-Terry, 2, 1, you're on.
Welcome back to the Weekend Terry Stahl Show. Today we're talking about diabetes. The show is being brought to you by the Willamette Queen. The next time you plan an event, think of the Queen. Whether it's a lunch cruise, a gourmet dinner cruise, brunch cruise, or an excursion cruise, the Queen is open all year round. And she's operating bigger and better than ever. Give them a call, 503-371-1103. That's 503-371-1103. It's the Willamette Queen. Our guests today, Sandra and Renee, were talking about diabetes. Renee, when I was in your class a week or so back, you guys stuck me on this machine that made everything jiggle. What was that machine? What the hell was I doing? But I was telling you this earlier. I felt better when I got done.
Absolutely. That's the Sonic Whole Body Vibration Machine.
And it does that.
It does. Mm-hmm. It does. It jiggles everything that you didn't know jiggled.
But the funny thing about that is, as I'm standing there jiggling, your gal there that's running is asking me questions.
Right.
Just to hear me talk weird.
Uh-huh.
And I knew that's
weird.
What she was doing. I knew that's exactly what she was doing. What does this machine do?
It uses vibration, various intensities of vibration, and various intensities of sound frequency. All your tissues and body organ systems respond to both of these. We know we respond to sound, high frequencies that we can't hear, but they do stimulate our organ system, our muscles, all of that. The vibration also brings in muscle strengthening. In 10 minutes, you've done an hour of aerobic exercise.
Serious?
Yes.
Okay.
And this was designed for astronauts in order to maintain their bone and muscle integrity in zero gravity. And
okay.
So this works really, really well. So it improves and works with your circulation, your lymph system, your pulmonary system, which is your breathing and your lungs, mental acuity with the neurological system, like for neuropathy.
But let's talk a little bit about mm-hmm. neuropathy. I have neuropathy.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And what neuropathy does is it's a weird sensation in your feet.
Mm-hmm.
Where you don't feel a lot, but yet you feel like pins that are mm-hmm. constantly jabbing at you, but yet your feet feel numb. What does that do for neuropathy?
It helps to normalize the neuropathways. So coming from the brain, it's the brain's perceptions, and then also the damage to the nerves that happen from the high or low blood sugars, and because they're constantly getting attacked with that system. By bringing your blood sugars back into balance, by increasing your circulation, by stimulating the muscle fibers, and stimulating the neuropathways, we bring back a normal sensation to the nerves. So the stinging that you might feel, the pins and needles, the numbness, it brings back, it seems to be bringing back normal feeling and sensory stuff, and that feeling, like one gentleman who for the first time felt that the scale he was standing on to get his weight was cold. He'd never felt the temperature there before. Another one of our clients was able to regain his balance in the shower because he could feel his feet, and he could run across the road with the dog because he could feel his feet and he could
balance.
It's
a form of exercise, you know.
It is a form of exercise,
Terry. I knew
you
were going to get that back in there. Mm-hmm.
But just think how simple. Think how simple this is.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to change into gym clothes. You don't have to take a shower afterwards. Ladies don't have to redo their makeup and their hairdo. And so it's really very convenient.
Okay, so describe this machine. What does this thing look like, and how does it work? As far as you stand
mm-hmm.
on it?
You stand on it. It has a platform that you stand on. Base, in the base of that is a big speaker that you cannot see, but that's what does the frequency, the sound frequency. Mm-hmm. And then it has a motor in there that helps create the vibration. And so you have a pedestal that that comes up in front of you with handles, and you're hanging on to that so that you get the vibration in your hands as well. It truly is fitness because it's used in Europe and Asia as a fitness machine.
Mm-hmm.
But here, basically what you're doing is you're standing here for 10 minutes, and the various frequencies and vibrations are stimulating your muscles as though you were doing an hour of exercise. But the good thing about this, as you're standing on it, and some people can sit and just put their feet on it if they can't stand.
I saw a lady doing that
yes,
the other day, yes.
Yes, and so there is, it just the benefits of this are just amazing. So in the process of doing this, you also don't have to go through the range of motion. If people are handicapped, or not handicapped, but if they have limitations with joint discomforts and things like that, they can get the benefit of this without going out and running down the road or doing all kinds of awkward exercises.
Is this a form of weight loss too? Will it help you lose weight by getting on this thing?
Yeah, it will. It can definitely do that. We've had people do that.
So I can go eat a cupcake and then get on this thing and it's 10 minutes. But you're saying only 10 minutes, 10 minutes a session?
Uh-huh.
And do it how many times a week?
3 times a week.
Okay. Now, I did it once the other day to try it out.
Uh-huh.
And I remember walking to my car and I'm thinking, my feet are feeling a little, I'm having some feeling in them.
Mm-hmm.
It's just after one session. Can it cure neuropathy?
Well, let me give you my testimonial, my personal testimonial.
All right.
Okay. Back about 7 years ago, Dr. Junggi Hong, who is an assistant professor in the exercise science department at Willamette University, came to me and asked if he could do a study on our population to see if these machines would really help neuropathy and fibromyalgia. And so, of course, I agreed. He spoke to our group, and he had about 35 people sign up in that first session, that first study. And so my husband at that time was taking 300 milligrams of morphine and 1,600 milligrams of gabapentin for his pain and still couldn't have covers on his feet at night. They were so painful. After 3 sessions a week for 4 weeks, he got off all pain medications.
Get out of here.
7 years ago, and has not been back on pain medication.
Seriously?
Seriously, yes.
That gabapentin, I was taking 3 a day, by about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I'm ready to go to sleep. And they cut me down to 1. I take 1 at night now.
Yeah.
But to me, that just it wasn't a good feeling.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we have testimonials from the people. His studies were so successful, they've been written up in several medical journals. In fact, we have a lot of research papers that we carry on hand at our headquarters. So if people want copies of them, they're welcome to come in and get copies.
All right. So this machine is you have 2 of them, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And they're located at?
We're getting 2 more.
You're getting 2 more. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Are these pretty spendy machines?
Yes.
Okay. Okay.
Do you want the prices?
Sure, why not?
Where the two machines that we have run about $6,000.
Each?
Each.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And they have a capacity of 265 pounds.
Okay.
And so the 2 that we're getting now are probably about another $4,000, but they can hold somebody with a body weight up to 500 pounds.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Incredible. And just that 10 minutes, 3 times a week, does wonders. We're going to take a short break, back in just a couple of minutes. We're talking diabetes today on KSLM.
You're listening to The Terry Soul Show, Saltissimo, on Salem's original radio station, 104.3 and 1220 AM KSLM.
We're back in 5, 4, Q-Terry, 2, 1, you're on.
We are back. This is the Terry Fall Weekend Show, Salem's original radio station, KSLM AM and FM. I am your host, and today we are talking about diabetes. I've had it for about 6 or 7 years now. There are several different types of diabetes. Well, not several. There's like 4 different types of diabetes. Is that correct?
Yes.
What are the different types?
Well, Renee talked about this a little bit before.
Right.
Type 1 diabetes is when your pancreas just kind of throws in the towel and quits working. Type 2 is a not necessarily an aging disease like it used to be. It used to be called the old people's disease back when I was a kid, which was, you know, a week or two ago. There was a little girl who was 3 years old in Texas who was diagnosed with type 2 diabetes, the youngest ever. She was obese, had a bad diet, and the doctors worked with her and got her turned around. But there are a lot of children now. It used to be when we first started doing this 12 years ago, they would quote statistics and say that 90% of the people with a diagnosis of diabetes was type 2 and 10% were type 1. Well, that's changing because so many young people now, children, teenagers, are being diagnosed as type 2. And so those statistics are changing and they're less type 1. So basically, type 2, Renee talked about that. The insulin fails to work with the glucose in your bloodstream. That sometimes occurs more when you're a little bit over 40. Mm-hmm. Gestational diabetes, about 4% of the women who are during pregnancy will develop type 2. Normally, it goes away after childbirth, but they are at greater risk in later years. Actually, the doctors now talk about that there's a type 3 diabetes. They talk mm-hmm. about that the brain produces insulin, and it's related with Alzheimer's.
Really?
Mm-hmm. And so there's not a lot said about that. Of course, then there's are pre-diabetics, and so those are those the people whose blood sugars are higher than normal, but not high enough to have a diagnosis mm-hmm. of diabetes.
We mentioned before on our last segment there that you're moving to a new location, actually just right down the street from us over here. Where are you moving to?
The address is 3886 Beverly Avenue North.
Okay.
Took me a minute. There's several buildings in the complex. We're going to be in Building I, Suite 21. It's we're going from about 400 square feet to 4,000.
Wow.
We need chairs.
Yeah. Now, the group that I was at a couple of weeks ago, you had a pretty good group there. It was a Monday morning, and there was quite a few people there.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you meet every week, or how often do you meet?
Okay, that class is Diabetes and Balance. I started that, oh goodness sakes, probably the first 4 or 5 years that we were into doing this, because we realized that there were a lot of people who could not drive at night and depended on public transportation. So we added that one at Jason Lee Manor. And then we got a call from Englewood Apartments, and so we started another one there. And then we got a call from I'm Just a Girl Who Can't Say No, and we got a call from Dallas Hospital. We're asked to take over their diabetes support group. Eventually, we merged the two afternoon groups in Salem and moved them to Center 50 Plus. And then when we rented the headquarters out in Cunningham, we moved that class there. So I'm still doing Dallas. And I'm doing, we do Monday morning, Renee and I do Monday mornings at 11:30, basic diabetes 101 classes. It's just...
All right, and what are you talking about in that 101 class?
We talk about everything. Renee is a life coach, so this is such an asset to diabetes support services because she has this background of compassionately working with people, understanding what they go through, because coping is a big factor. Depression is a big factor. And so she teaches classes on that. We have classes, I have written over 50 PowerPoint programs. And so we address every single thing that you can think about. We have classes on carbohydrate counting, hidden sugars, hidden sodium, care of the feet, the circulatory system, just name it. And so we rotate through these classes. Try to upgrade the PowerPoints each time we present them so there's fresh information so that each of those classes have time for people to ask their questions and chat and visit with us.
Renee, I'm going to ask a question. Let's talk about depression. Where does depression come into play?
Depression comes into play because, well, there's a couple of different types. One is if your body systems are all out of whack and your hormones in your body are all out of whack, your brain is out of whack. So there's some physiology to that. But the main one that I deal with really is people become overwhelmed. They become overwhelmed with fear. They become
fear of the unknown.
Fear that they're going to die. Fear that they're going to lose body parts. They hear all the horror stories and it's like, oh my gosh, you know, I have nothing to look forward to. My life is over. I can't live like I've been living at all. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, this runs my whole life. My whole life depends on everything I do. And they just don't even know the direction to go. They sometimes withdraw. Sometimes they don't socialize anymore. There are just so many different dynamics to that. And so it's about realizing that there is so much to look forward to, that it is so much within the power within you to manage this. You just need some help and guidance to know what that is. And so that's what we provide, so that you can then say, oh, you know, we recognize and validate how you're feeling. Because it's, when you're in it, you're just sure that nobody else understands.
Right.
And so it's really scary. And
when I was first told that I was a diabetic, I immediately thought of my uncle who lost one leg, then lost mm-hmm. another leg, and then lost his life.
Mm-hmm.
And immediately that's what you start thinking about. Okay, this is what's coming. Mm-hmm. But it's not necessarily what's coming.
No.
I had another doctor tell me that diabetes is an issue that can be, you can live with diabetes and you can live mm-hmm. successfully and have a pretty decent life, even though you are diabetic. Is that true?
Yes. Yes. What we hope to do is to help people say, hi, my name is Renee and I have a beautiful life. And oh, by the way, I have diabetes over here. Instead of, hi, my name's Renee and I have diabetes.
Poor me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's mm-hmm. there's a difference in how you approach your life there and what controls your life.
All right. Let's talk about some of the statistics. Sandra, why don't you take us through some of the, how many people have diabetes?
Well, when you combine the diagnosed diabetics with the people who are pre-diabetic, they're in the United States, they're over 100 million.
Serious?
Yes.
Wow.
The Centers for Disease Control comes out every 2 to 3 years with statistics.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're always running behind time. So the statistics mm-hmm. right now that we're working with are like from 2015. And so there are 30.2 million people on record that are diagnosed. But the sad part is that 1 out of 4 people have diabetes and don't know it. Because sometimes there are...
That seems awful high. Yeah. Why is that so high? Because they just don't go to the doctor and find out, or...
Probably, and maybe they don't have any symptoms. There are a lot of symptoms for diabetes, but sometimes they're not either. So it can be a secret disease, and until they go to the doctor and get their blood sugars, they might know that they're not feeling well, and they might know that maybe if they eat a certain thing, they don't feel as well. But unless they get that annual blood work, that's really important.
Okay. Let's talk a little bit about symptoms. What are some of the symptoms for being a diabetic?
As I recall, back in 1962, my husband had this unquenchable. Thank you.
Yes.
Thirst.
And when she said, you said, I'm going, I'm not going to try that one.
She always pronounces everything for me. I'm a Scandinavian from Minnesota. I can't say these big words.
There you go.
And nothing above a 3-syllable. So anyway, extremely thirsty and then going to the bathroom a lot. So he started doing this and I told him, I don't know anything about diabetes, but I think I heard that those are symptoms. I don't have diabetes. Well, he had a lot of family members, a lot of cousins who were diabetic. And so I thought, well, maybe this is, something, a bad gene or whatever. So
was in 1962, though,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay, so there wasn't a lot known about diabetes
no.
in 62?
No.
Okay.
No.
Go ahead,
and
I'm sorry.
And so his mother worked at the hospital, and I talked to her about it, and she said, let's do a urine sample on it. So we had to do about an hour's drive, and in the first 20 miles, he drank 6 12-ounce bottles of Coke because he was
wow.
so thirsty.
Of
course,
Coke?
That just made it all that worse.
Coca-Cola?
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Because the new sugar-free pops weren't even out then.
Right.
Back then.
Right.
That's those are two of the symptoms. Losing weight without trying. Now everybody says, oh, ooh, that'd be pretty nice, to drop some weight, but that could be a
not
symptom. Weakness, fatigue, tingling and numbness of the hands and feet, like mm-hmm. what you have. Blurred vision, cuts or bruises that don't heal. That's a big one. Difficulty concentrating.
Mm-hmm.
That's another one. Your blood sugars get off. High or low, you can have trouble with that. So those are some of the symptoms.
Mm-hmm. What are some of the risks that are caused by diabetes?
The complications. When you have all this glucose floating around in your bloodstream, it's like little shards of glass.
Mm-hmm.
And so anyway, the risks are kidney failure, heart attack, strokes, blindness, kidney disease, nervous system disease, which would be the neuropathy, that can sores that don't heal, ulcers that can result in amputations, dental disease, complications in pregnancy, and 3 out of 5 people with type 2 diabetes have at least one or more other serious health problems.
Such as?
High blood pressure, heart attacks, strokes, all those kinds of things that are a result of the excess glucose in the blood.
Okay. And it seems like once you get on one of those medicines, you keep taking more and more, and it almost never stops.
Yes, that's what we try to fix. If you're type 2 diabetic, we teach you how to eat, and we teach you how to exercise in just 10 minutes.
There's that E word again. One way or another, you're going to keep me going with that. We've only got about a minute and a half left on this particular segment there, but I wanted to talk about the signs of high blood sugar and then the signs of low blood sugar. As we're going through this, and I'm looking through some of these different questions that we're asking, picking up on a lot of things that I have issues with. Okay, that you're talking about on these things here. So when we get into the high blood pressure or the high blood sugar and the low blood sugar, again, looking through this stuff, I'm thinking, a lot of these things are hitting home.
Yeah.
A lot of these things are hitting home. Well, I'll tell you what, let's go ahead and take our break and get these commercials knocked out of the way first. And we are talking diabetes with folks from the Diabetes Support Services. What's the phone number over there?
It's 503-585-1335. That's my cell phone. I carry it with me, and I talk to people at 9:30 on a Sunday night if they call and have problems. So call me anytime.
All right. And then if you have these meetings every Monday?
The Monday morning meeting is at 11:30 every Monday, and the Dallas Hospital meeting is the third Wednesday at 3 o'clock, and our evening meeting is at 7 o'clock at First Presbyterian Church for one more month, and then we'll be moving it to our headquarters.
Okay.
That's on the fourth Thursday.
And the fourth Thursday. All right. Thank you, Renee.
We're going to take a quick break. Don't go anywhere. We're just getting warmed up. You're listening to the Terry Saul Weekend Show on 104.3 FM and 1220 AM. We are KSLM. Back in just a moment.
You're listening to The Terry Saul Show, Saltissimo, on Salem's original radio station, 104.3 and 1220 AM, KSLM.
We're back in 5, 4, Q Terry, 2, 1, you're on.
We are back with our final few minutes today. We're talking about diabetes, and this segment is being brought to you once again by the Willamette Queen. Whether it's a private party, wedding, birthday parties, banquet, dances, family reunion, reception, whatever it is that you're planning, plan on using the Willamette Queen. 503-371-1103, 503-371-1103. We're talking diabetes. Let's talk about the signs of high blood sugar. Who's going to take it?
You do high. I'll do low.
You do high, she'll do low. There we go.
So high blood sugar, being very tired is one of the number one ones.
Okay, I've got that one.
Okay.
I'm putting a check by that.
Weak, and it's hard to work. It's hard to play. It's hard to have.
I work one day a week. That's 2 checks for me.
Okay. Being really thirsty. Okay. That's another one. Going for the drink all the time. Going to the restroom a lot. Going to the bathroom a lot. Dry skin and tongue. That's another one who's got just really dry mouth and dry skin. Leg cramps is another big one. Fruity smelling breath. That's one of the ones where they can tell a little bit about what's going on. That would be Coco's thing there. And having an upset stomach. Those are key.
All right, before we go into the low blood, you told me about something we're trying with our dog right now. We just got a brand new little puppy. We're trying the pretzel. Tell me how the pretzel works.
10 years ago, we were given this little 3-pound Chihuahua.
Okay.
And the people who gave him to us said they had been training him to detect blood sugar fluctuations. And so he was only 2 months old, and they had several other dogs in the house, and so we weren't sure how much time had been spent training him. So we get this little guy home, put him on the living room floor. My husband lies down next to him, and he just heads for his nose and starts licking it. And I said to him, "Are you sure your blood sugar isn't off?" And he said, "Oh, what does he know?" And said, "Go check it." And sure enough, his blood sugar was 42.
Mm.
It was really low. And so it took longer for us to learn that the dog knew more than we did, and to trust the dog. And so we had been told when we got him to train him for high blood sugar, like Renee said, your breath gets fruity, to chew juicy fruit gum and have the dog sniff the breath, and then when he licked the face, then to reward him with a treat. And when the blood sugar drops, the body perspires and gets salty, and so we were told to have him chew pretzels.
To have your husband chew the pretzels.
Yeah, okay. Not the dog. No.
All right.
And my husband chewed the pretzels, and then when he licked his face, reward him with a treat. And we went into this training program and did it once. So he just knew. This little guy just knew.
So how far in advance will your husband start having that salty flavoring so that the dog knows something's going on?
Well, what's bizarre is that Al has a $4,000 continuous glucose monitor.
Okay.
And actually the dog is about 10 minutes ahead of it. He won't get an alarm from his glucose monitor. The dog will have been there already. And so he knows almost immediately. The glucose monitor runs about 20 minutes behind what is really happening in the bloodstream.
So what does the dog do?
Well, if his blood sugars are low, he licks his nose. If his blood sugars are high, he licks in his ears.
And now, if I can just teach the wife the same thing, you know, we're doing good, you know?
And he won't give it up. I mean, really? He won't give it up. And he knows that he's supposed to treat it. The dog knows he's supposed to drink something. Al is supposed to drink some juice or drink some regular pop or something. But he doesn't know the difference between high and low. So if he won't give it up and his blood sugar is high, Al just has to drink something just to satisfy the dog so he'll leave him alone.
So when you're traveling out and about, and I know we only have about 5 minutes left, but I want to get through this other stuff here. When you're out and about traveling around, does your husband bring supplies with him? Is he constantly having orange juice or whatever he needs to have with him
it's
at all times?
It's extremely important that you carry something. You have it in the glove compartment of your car. I have treatment in my purse. I have a glucose monitor in my purse. We have another glucose monitor in the glove compartment because you just never know.
Yeah, we have them scattered all over the place.
Yes, absolutely. It's very
quick story. Again, I was telling you about the Reese's Peanut Butter Cup. They really do help me. Mm-hmm. And I was driving down commercial the other day, and I could feel the shakes coming on, and I pulled into one of those little convenience stores, and I ran in there, grabbed a Reese's, rip it open, and start eating. The guy goes, "Hey, you got to pay for that." I'll be there just a second.
Yeah.
But and I explained, I said, you know, and I swallowed some orange juice, and it took a little bit, but it does help.
It's really a good idea to check your blood sugar before you get behind the wheel.
Sure. Tell me about the signs of low blood sugar.
Okay. You talked about a little bit the shakiness,
mm-hmm.
but there can be others. Obviously sweaty, like I said. Maybe angry, very, very angry,
really?
Short-tempered, irritable. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'll say to Al, I said, I think you need to check your blood sugar. I'm fine. You always tell me to do that.
See, you have right here crabby next to that.
Uh-huh.
And if my wife was here, she'd be sitting there going, okay, now I know why.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Don't want to be around people. You can't think clearly.
What do you mean, don't want to be around people?
Yeah, sometimes if your blood sugar is low, maybe you just want to be by yourself.
Really?
Yeah. Laugh or act silly, like you're drunk. Sometimes maybe someone has had one drink and will have alcohol in their breath, be pulled over by a policeman because they're driving erratically, and the policeman will think that they've been drinking. And actually, like what we were told way back in the beginning, that my husband's doctor said that he gets called from the police station. He said, this guy's diabetic. He says he's not drunk. And the doctor said, I'll give him a candy bar and see how he is in 10 minutes. And that takes care of it. So high stress, very upset, little things are upsetting. That's another symptom. He can be very hungry, high emotion, maybe cry, you know, act confused, can't pay attention, sleepy or passing out. And this is the one, insist you feel fine when in the middle of unusual behavior. Somebody says to you, you know, you're acting kind of strange. I'm fine. mm-hmm. So these things are so important that you communicate. And that's one of our PowerPoint programs is on communication. Talking to your family members, to your neighbors, letting them know you are diabetic. We had one situation, I talked about it just on Monday, where one of our members passed out mowing his lawn and the neighbor didn't know he was diabetic and he had low blood sugar. So you should talk to everybody who's around you. If you are an employer, supervisor, or manager and manage people, if you have a diabetic working for you, you should know these symptoms and know where the treatment is and how to treat them, because sometimes the patient can't do it themselves.
Should you? I have an ID bracelet on here that talks about that I'm a type 2 diabetes as well as AFib. And I also have a necklace that say that. Good. Should you wear something on your body that just in
Absolutely.
Case you can't communicate?
Absolutely, extremely important.
My son's a paramedic, and he tells me, he says, "Dad, it helps when we get on the scene. If the person's unconscious, we can see what we need to do.
Exactly,
it helps quite a bit.
We actually have little ID cards that we hand out free to people, and they carry one in their wallet and put another one on the visor of their car.
Right.
Big red sign that says diabetic. So if there should be a car accident, then the police would know.
What is the outrageous price that you people are charging for these classes here? This is just outrageous.
It's just, you know, most people can't afford it. But yeah. All of our diabetes education classes are free.
Nice.
For 12 years, we've been doing everything for free. We do charge for sonic vibration.
Yeah.
Because the machines are expensive to maintain.
Do you encourage people to bring their spouse with them to these classes? Because that's so important.
Bring their spouses, their kids, their friends, so everybody can be educated. Because diabetes is not a singular disease. It includes everyone in the family. And so everyone should be educated and know how to treat it and how to handle it.
All right. Mm-hmm. Our guests have been Sandra Underberg and Renee Lacey from the Diabetes Support System. If people have more information, is there a number or a website that they can get in touch with you with?
Absolutely. Our website is sugarsmart.org.
Oh, I like that. See, I'd have called it hostesstwinkie.org, you know, but...
Oh, why not?
All right. Do you have a Facebook page? Or?
We do. It's rather lengthy. It's Sugar Smart Diabetes My Pal Sticky, which was our original children's group. And our phone number is 503-585-1335.
All righty. Ladies, I've got a lot more questions to ask you. Would you guys consider coming back down the road again? Let's do this again.
Absolutely.
All right. See you next week. Take care.
That's a wrap. Good job, folks. And we're off. Thanks, everybody.
Bye, everybody.